بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم دخل عليها وعندها امرأة فقال: من هذه؟ قالت: فلانة تذكر من صلاتها. قال: مه عليكم بما تطيقون، فوالله لا يمل الله حتى تملوا. وكان أحب الدين إليه ما داوم عليه صاحبه، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. حضرت عائشہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہا رپورٹس ان النبی صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم دخل علیہا، شی رپورٹس دیٹ نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم انٹرڈ ہر حجرہ، her quarters where she was residing. وَإِنْدَهَا إِمْرَأَةٌ And sitting with Aisha رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ was a lady. فَقَالَ مَنْ هَذِهِ So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam asked, Who is this? Who is this lady? قَالَتْ فُلَانَتُ Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha said, She is so and so. In the narration of Muslim Sharif, we find the name of this lady, Hawla binti Tuwait. Hawla binti Tuwait ibn Habib ibn Asad ibn Uzza. And in another narration we find, Imra'atum min bani Asadin. وَإِنْدَهَا إِمْرَأَةٌ مِّن بَنِي أَسَدٍ Sitting with Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنها was a lady from the tribe of Banu Asad. And Khadija رضي الله تعالى عنها also belonged to this very tribe, the tribe of Banu Asad. So حَوْلَى بِنْتِ تُوَيْت and Khadija بنت خويلد رضي الله تعالى عنهما both meet up with Asad, Asad ibn عبد العزة. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم entered the quarters of Aisha رضي الله عنها, the hujra of Aisha رضي الله عنها, the residence of Aisha رضي الله عنها, and he found sitting with Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, a lady from Banu Asad whose name is Hawla binti Tuwait radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And if we put all the various narrations together, we come to this conclusion that as soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam entered the home, Hawla bint Tuwayt radiyallahu ta'ala anha was an intelligent lady. She was a companion of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So she understood that the husband has come into the home, and the husband and wife needs some time to themselves. They require privacy. So she immediately got up. And she got up and she walked out of the room. And when she walked out of the room, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Man hadihi? Who is this lady?" So Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha said, she is Hawla bint Tuwayt ibn Habib ibn Asad ibn Abdul Uzza. She's a lady from the Banu Asad. Her name is Hawla bint Tuwayt. And here in the narration of Bukhari Sharif, the narrator says, قَالَتْ فُلَانَةُ تَذْكُرُ مِنْ صَلَاتِهَا. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, she is so and so, she is Hawla bint Tuwayt, and she said this making mention of her salat. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, upon the question of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, replied by saying, she is Hawla bint Tuwayt, and thereafter she started praising her, that she performs salat in abundance. And we find her excessiveness in salah in another narration, wherein Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is said to have said, "Tosalli la tanam." She has the habit of performing salat throughout the night. She does not sleep during the night. And in another narration, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is reported to have said, "Hiya abadu ahlil madinati." She is the most devoted woman as far as salat is concerned from the people of Madinah Munawwara. Why is she the most devoted woman towards salat? Because tusalli wala tanam, because she performs salat throughout the night and she never sleeps. This is her ma'mool. This is her habit. This is her wird. This is her wazifa. That throughout the night, daily, she remains in ibadah. And that too in salat. Throughout the night she performs salat. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, she is so and so, making mention of her excessive salat, of her salah in abundance. Upon this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam made this statement, "Mah alaykum bima tutiqoon, fawallahi la yamallu Allahu hatta tamallu." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Mah." Mah is a word which is used in the Arabic language to reprimand somebody, to show resentment, to show anger, to show that I am not happy with what you have said, or with what you have done, or with what somebody else has said, or with what somebody else has done. And according to Allama Dawoodi rahimahullahu ta'ala, "Mah" is short for "ma hadha." And "ma hadha" means what is this? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Mah." That means, "Ma hadha?" What is this?
And the conclusion is the same. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is showing resentment, showing unhappiness upon something that is said or upon something that is done by Aisha radiyallahu anha or someone else. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam reprimanded either Aisha radiyallahu anha or someone else. What is this? What is this? You should not have said this. You should not say this. You should not have done this. You should not do this. Or so and so should not have said this. So and so should not have done this. So and so should not say this. So and so should not do this. There are two opinions of the Muhaddiseen as to whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is reprimanding. One opinion is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reprimanding Aisha radiyallahu anha. And he is saying that everything is good when it is with moderation. So praising somebody remaining within limits is good. So do not praise somebody excessively. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Aisha radiyallahu anha praised that lady and Aisha radiyallahu anha continued to praise her, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimanded Aisha radiyallahu anha and he said, what is this? Enough. One should do everything moderately. Praising someone should also be done in a moderate manner. And if Aisha radiallahu anha was praising this pious lady of Banu Asad in her presence, then the resentment was that why are you praising her in her presence? Because it is not something liked by the Sharia. So mah means what are you doing? What is this? Do not praise her in her presence. The other opinion is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was showing resentment to the lady going away from the path of moderation as far as ibadat and devotion was concerned. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, what is this? Performing salat all night? This is not moderation. This is not moderation, because your body also has a right over you. Your husband also has a right over you. Your wife also has a right over you. Your children also has a right over you. Aati kulla dhi haqqin haqqa. Give each person and everything the right that is due to him or the thing. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by saying mahada or ukfuf, stop, enough, by saying mah is reprimanding either Aisha radiyallahu anha for her excessive praise for the lady, or reprimanding Aisha radiyallahu anha for her praising the lady in her presence, or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing resentment in regard to the lady leaving the path of moderation as far as the night is concerned. And thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alaykum bima tutiqoon. What is this? Alaykum bima tutiqoon. Hold fast to those amal which you are able to carry out. Prescribe for yourself those amal which you are able to carry out with continuity. Alaykum bima tutiquna al mudawamata alayha. Hold fast to those amal which you are able to carry out with continuity. Why? Because فَوَاللَّهِ by Allah لَا يَمَلُّ اللَّهُ حَتَّى تَمَلُّ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not stop His reward for you until you stop carrying out a'mal. فَوَاللَّهِ by Allah لَا يَمَلُّ اللَّهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not stop rewarding you, will not stop granting you reward. Hatta tamallu, until you stop carrying out amal or amal. So if you are carrying out a particular amal, or if you are carrying out particular amal, a particular deed or a few deeds, then if you carry out that deed or those deeds on a regular basis, daily, Allah will continue to grant reward on a daily basis. You are reciting one juz today, Allah will grant you the reward for reciting one juz. You read another juz tomorrow, Allah will grant you the reward for reciting another juz. And you carry on throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year, throughout the years and throughout life. Amal will continue from your side. Rewarding will continue from Allah's side. But if you stop your amal, then Allah will stop rewarding you. What is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making reference to? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making reference to this fact that a person, if he makes himself responsible to carry out amal or carry out an amal which is beyond his ability, then he may be able to carry out that amal for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, for a week, 2 weeks. But a time will definitely come when he will stop. Let us take the example of a person who is working full time, 8 hours daily, or who is attending college or university, full time college, full time university, or a full time madrasa. A person engaged in full time work, full time study, and he takes it upon himself to recite 5 juz from the glorious Quran daily. Whereas if he was to assess his life properly and look at all the tasks that he is responsible for throughout the week, he would come to this conclusion that maybe on a Sunday I'll be able to manage 5 juz. Maybe on Wednesday I will be able to manage 5 juz because I don't have to go to university on a Wednesday. Maybe Saturday I will be able to manage 5 juz. But Monday will be difficult. Tuesday will be difficult. Thursday will be difficult. Friday will be difficult. Or somebody who is working full time may come to this conclusion that Saturday I might be able to make it because I have to do shopping and I have some responsibility. Sunday will be easy for me. I'll be able to manage 5 juz. But he still takes it upon himself that no, come what may, I will. And he begins on a Saturday, and Saturday he manages to carry out recitation of 5 juz. Sunday again. And Monday, he doesn't waste a single second. Wherever he gets the opportunity, he takes out the Quran from his pocket and he begins reciting. But he has taken upon himself a responsibility which is beyond his ability. Not practical. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, he'll push again on Tuesday. For how long will he carry on? And a day will come when he will crack. And the day he cracks, what will happen is that instead of 5, it's only 1 juz. Instead of 5, it's only 1/2 juz. Instead of 5, it's only 1.5 juz. Or instead of 5, nothing at all. Nothing. When we take a burden upon ourselves, burden of carrying out an amal, burden of a task that I will do this on a regular basis. I will do this once a year, I will do this once a month, I will do this once a week, I will do this on a daily basis. This task, we are putting this task on the shoulders of our nafs. And every individual nafs has its own ability. So Ibrahim's ability is different from Muhammad's ability. Muhammad's ability is different from Mu'in's ability. Their abilities are different because their physical strength is different, because their mental strength is different, their psychological strength is different, because their engagement is different. One has more time, the other has less time. Similarly, our nafs, every individual nafs, its ability is different from the other. And nafs is like a child. And nafsu kattifli. Nafs is like a child. If you put on the shoulders of a child responsibility which is beyond its ability, for one day you will be able to force the child to do it. Second day you will be able to force the child to do it. Maybe week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe third, 3 weeks, a time will come when the child will crack. And when it cracks, it will say no. It will just stop doing, it will come to zero. Many inexperienced teachers in the HIPS class, they, without studying the ability and the capacity of the child, force the child or force the children to memorize so many lines on a daily basis. Now the ability of the child is to memorize 10 lines and the teacher is expecting 15 lines. So comes Monday, the child has memorized 15 lines. Why? Because it has sacrificed everything. Friends, playing, everything sacrificed. Comes Tuesday, somehow he has managed to learn 15 lines. Because again, he has sacrificed everything. No free time for nothing. Comes Wednesday, he has sacrificed everything. But a time will come when the child or the nafs of the child will want some enjoyment, some relaxation. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it will engage in something and it will not be able to learn the complete 15 lines. It may be able to complete 13 lines, maybe 12 lines, maybe 14 lines, but it will go in the class with an incomplete lesson. And the child will be punished, maybe reprimanded, maybe detained extra hour after the class. The following day, the child will come to this conclusion that whether I learn 11 lines, or whether I learn 12 lines, or whether I learn 3 lines, or whether I learn 8 lines, or whether I learn 7 lines, I am going to be punished anyway, so I am not going to learn altogether. We have to treat the nafs like a child. We have to understand the ability of the nafs. And after assessing the ability of the nafs, we need to put the tasks upon the shoulders of the nafs, that this is what you have to do on a yearly basis, this is what you have to do on a monthly basis, this is what you have to do on a weekly basis, this is what you have to do on a daily basis. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that those people who make their nafs responsible or make themselves responsible to carry out more than what they are able to, then they will work for 5 days, 7 days, 10 days, 1 month, and they will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter they will leave the work. They will leave the amal. And once they leave the amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave rewarding them. Through this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has shown his mercy, his compassion for the ummah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us how to accumulate as much reward as possible from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has set down a principle that it is better to carry out an amal which is less in quantity but which can be carried out with continuity throughout life, then to carry out that amal which is more in quantity but which you are unable to carry out with continuity. I will give you another simple example. You have a person who somehow recites 5 juz on the 1st of January, again 5 juz on the 2nd of January, again 5 juz on the 3rd of January, and he continues for 10 days, so 50 juz. And after that his nafs gives in, and then nafs is not able to carry on. 50 juz in 10 days. And you have another person who is reciting 1 juz every day. In 10 days, 10 juz. You have one person who has recited 50 juz in 10 days. You have another person who has recited 1 juz, 10 juz in 10 days. Difference of 40 juz. But this first person after 10 days is not going to recite the Quran for the next 6 months. And this person who is reciting the Quran according to his ability or the ability of his nafs, he will continue reciting 1 juz for 6 months. So the first person will end up reciting 50 juz, the second person will end up reciting 180 juz. Allah will reward the first person for reciting 50 juz, and Allah will reward the second person for reciting 180 juz. And we ourselves have experienced this on so many occasions. We become emotional as a result of the blessings of the month of Ramadan, as a result of Umrah, Hajj, as a result of Aitikaf, as a result of spending time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We come back home with so many big targets, and we carry out those targets for 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, and thereafter, for months, for weeks, we don't do anything. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam here is saying, alaykum bima tutikun, hold fast to those amal, those deeds, which you are able to carry out with continuity, because by Allah, لا يمل الله الله سبحانه وتعالى will not stop your thawab, will not stop your reward, حتى تملو, until you stop carrying out the amal. Further, Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنها says, وكان أحب الدين إليه ما داوم عليه صاحبه. The most beloved amal to, according to one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to another narration, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most beloved amal, the most beloved deed, the most beloved practice to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no contradiction. Because what is beloved to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is beloved to Allah. What is beloved to Allah is beloved to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most beloved amal to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that amal, ma dawama alayhi sahibuhu, is that amal which the doer of the amal carries out with continuity. Continuity. That is the most liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So friends, let us make a firm resolution that inshallah, whatever
we will begin to do, we will do it with continuity. There are some amal mentioned in the ahadith by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are to be carried out on a daily basis, morning and evening. There are some amal which are to be carried out 5 times after every salat. There are some amal which are to be carried out once daily. There are some amal which are to be carried out on a weekly basis. There are some amal which are to be carried out on a monthly basis. There are some amal which are to be carried out on a yearly basis. Salat, azkar, fasting. Let us make a firm resolution that inshallah whatever we will do it on a regular basis. Here, before I conclude, a very important point to remember is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in this hadith is discussing the voluntary amal, the optional deeds, the nawafil. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not discussing the faraiz and the wajibat. Because regarding faraiz and wajibat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was aware of each and every Muslim that was to come until the day of Qiyamah, each and every human that was to come until the day of Qiyamah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each and every human the ability to carry out every farz and every wajib. And where a person will not be able to carry out a particular farz or a particular wajib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the Islamic teachings has made them exceptional cases. For example, to stand in salat is fard. And thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained that if a person due to illness is unable to stand in salat, then qiyam is not fard for him now. He can sit down and perform salat. And if he is unable to even sit down, then he can lie down and perform his salat. So in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not discussing fara'id. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not saying to the ummah that if you are unable to carry out 5 times salat regularly and it is beyond your ability, then begin with one and at the moment just continue with one because that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. No. Faraiz are within every human's ability. Wajibat within every human's ability. Here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is discussing the tatawwu'at. From amongst the tatawwu'at, from amongst the voluntary amal, from amongst the optional amal, you should only take upon yourself what you are able to do with continuity. For example, ishraq. For example, the recitation of Surah Yasin Sharif in the morning. For example, reciting Salat ala Nabi daily so many times. For example, the fasting of Ayyam Abid. Fasting of Mondays and Thursdays. For example, recitation of the glorious Quran, half Jews, one Jews, two Jews. When fixing or allocating the quantity of optional deeds, that is when a person should do so according to one's ability. Before concluding, one other important point. A person may come to this conclusion that I don't have the ability to recite the Quran at all. It's optional. I don't have the ability to recite Quran. Or he may come to this conclusion that during the year, according to this imam, a person has to complete Quran so many times. According to this imam, a person has to complete so many times. Other than that, I don't have the ability. Other than what is compulsory, I don't have the ability. Or I have the ability to recite one ruku of the Quran daily only. I only have the ability to recite 5 times Salat al-Nabi daily. I only have the ability to recite 100 times Subhanallah, bas. Nothing more. A person may come to this conclusion. And his conclusion may be wrong. So how is he able to control his nafs?
Shaitan may mislead him, nafs may mislead him. The answer to that question is that until a person does not become matured, matured religiously, matured Islamically, matured in the field of ibadah, he needs to take guidance from an expert. And if the expert says that daily you should recite 100 times Salat al-Nabi, you should recite 100 times third kalima, you should recite 100 times Kalima-i-Tayyiba, you should recite one juz from the glorious Quran, that means whether your mind and your heart accepts this opinion or not, you have to believe that I have the ability and I have to force myself to do this. And inshallah, soon when you keep trying, you will come to this conclusion that yes, I have the ability, and that is why I am able to carry out these amal for the past 6 months now, alhamdulillah, and I feel that I have ability to do more as well. That is why, or that is where, we need an expert sheikh. We need to affiliate ourselves to an expert sheikh under whose guidance we are able to understand the ability of our nafs or our own ability. And under his guidance, we need to allocate time, we need to allocate our amal, which we are able to carry out with continuity and slowly, slowly progress. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما عطيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم.